With you from the book of Matthew, chapter 16. And the situation and condition was that Jesus took his disciples to the foot of Mount Hermon, to a place called Caesarea Philippi. And there was it's where the different forks of different rivers, the Banias and other forks of different creeks and rivers, run in to make the Jordan. And the snow melt from off Mount Hermon and what have you comes and help create that river. And then there's underground streams, like this one particular one, which is the backdrop for where Jesus is speaking to them, where they actually believed that the shepherd god of the Greeks, was actually birthed. And in this place, there was cut into the side of the cliff where this river flowed, these little cubby holes where they would place these different idols, Asherah, Baal, and all these different idols that they worshipped that had to do with fertility and what have you. And, of course, the water being something that was absolutely necessary for raising their crops, for irrigation and what have you. It all tied together, and they stood there worshipping these idols, which eventually it turned into, like we said before, into fornication and lasciviousness and every manner of sexual sin that you can imagine, because they believed that that was part of the fertility rite of those gods in that day. And so the backdrop is Jesus is teaching these disciples to know how to arm themselves for battle as far as defending the faith. And so we ended last week where Jesus had asked them and said, "Who do men say that I am?" And, of course, they said, some say that you're John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And then he asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And then Peter answered the question, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So that's where we left off last week. And Peter answered it correctly. God said to Peter, "Flesh and blood's not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." And anybody who can make that confession of faith, it is because it's been revealed by the Father in heaven. Amen? The Bible says, no man speaking by the Holy Spirit calls Jesus accursed. Amen? It's the power of God that's revealed it to your hearts. And so we're going to look at this verse of Scripture here today, because Jesus here is expressly speaking to Peter. And he says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Let's bow our heads and ask God's blessing upon this word. Father God, we ask that, God, that you would help us to be able to share the word in a way that would, Lord, convince the hearts of those who are here of its truth, Lord. And that, Lord, it would just fill our hearts to overflowing and permeate through the deepest part of our souls. And that, Lord, your word would become a part of who we are. That we would walk away from here this morning knowing more about the word of God than we did before. And our faith would be increased. God, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. We ask that you would do this by your Spirit and by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well now this binding and this loosing, it's not a picture of heaven doing our bidding, but rather, I think it portrays us coming into harmony with heaven. I think that's the whole intent behind this verses of Scripture. So Jesus is not saying here, "I got some keys here, and whatever you want to do, I'll unlock it and make it happen." That's not what he's saying. But I think he's saying just the opposite. I think what he's showing him here is that because you believe in me, I have given you authority. And everything that we do has to come in line with his authority. You see, we're told that very clearly in Scripture. Binding and loosing, we're to be doing it even as it is done in heaven. That's being in harmony with Jesus. Jesus himself demonstrates by talking about what the Father had committed to him. That he wasn't here doing his own will, but what the Father wanted him to do. In John chapter 6, verse 38, it says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And then one of the first things that he taught his disciples to pray in the Lord's Prayer was Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Listen to what he says. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the keys represent authority. What do keys do? They open doors, don't they? They open doors, they open windows. Binding and loosing, we're to be doing it even as it is done in heaven. That's being in harmony with Jesus. Jesus himself demonstrates by talking about what the Father had committed to him, that he wasn't here doing his own will, but what the Father wanted him to do. In John chapter 6, verse 38, it says, For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And then one of the first things that he taught his disciples to pray in the Lord's Prayer was Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Listen to what he says. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the keys represent authority. What do keys do? They open doors, don't they? They open doors, they open windows. Doors to what? What authority? What power? You could say power instead of authority. How many of you believe God wants to give us good things? Amen? And how many of you know that many of us don't receive those good things because we simply are not unlocking the doors? How many of you believe it's because a lot of times the things we ask for were to consume it upon our lusts, and that we are not coming into conformity with heaven, but rather the desires of man? As we're going to see, that's what Peter himself is going to demonstrate that for us in a short time as we look into this. And so we see that Peter here had been given these keys to open doors and to close doors. And I find it interesting, as you study the Scripture, and I don't really know any other way of doing this other than just reading each account here to demonstrate for you that Peter indeed was given the keys to open the doors of faith in the heart and lives of not only the Jewish people, but the Samaritans, and then the Gentiles. And so let's go ahead and dive right in here. First, let's look at the fact that he shared some deep things, opened some doors and the windows of faith, you might say, to the Jewish brethren who were there on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, we're going to read verses 14 through 43, and hopefully it'll go by fast, so don't get too concerned there. It says, But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known unto you, and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. On my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and the vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, I love that, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to God by you, to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Now, would you say that Peter here has opened the doors of heaven by declaring and revealing Scripture? I would. And he goes on to say, For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord. You know what? I missed verse 24. Let me back up. whom God raised up, having loosed from the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be healed by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and in his tomb, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on the throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God is raised up, of which you are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And I love this, because Peter, I think, is, again, opening these doors of revelation about heaven. And Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children until the word is finished, the canon of Scripture. Is that what it says? It's to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in bread breaking and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. So we see Peter had that authority to share these truths. And it's an authority and an understanding that he did not have before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He spoke boldly, as though it's like the doors of heaven were open to him. They were completely unlocked. And I believe more than anything else, one of the gifts from heaven that God poured out as a result of the doors being unlocked was the Holy Spirit being poured out upon men at this particular time. And we're going to see it again as Peter ministers the Holy Spirit to the Samaritans. The Bible tells us that Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Jesus to them, and they believed and they were baptized. But they weren't filled with the Holy Spirit yet. So they sent for Peter and John. And this is what it says in verse 14 through 25 of chapter 8 in Acts. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. At one time that was a door that was locked. The Holy Spirit was not poured out. Remember, Jesus stood on the great day of the feast in John chapter 7. He said, he who is athirst, let him come after me and let him drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But he said, this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, which was not yet given. You see, that door was locked. But now the door is opened up. For as yet the Holy Spirit had fallen on none of them, and they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone to whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to them, your money perish with you, because you thought that you could, that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. And Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. And so when they they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And so I think what we see here is we see a binding, but we also see a loosening, you might say. A loosening of the gift of God upon the Samaritans, who at one time were thought of as being worse than dogs, right? To the Hebrew people. But we see a binding up of the gift from the one whose heart's not right with God here. So when Jesus gave the disciple the commission to go and to share the gospel, and when he told them to baptize them in the Spirit, he told them at the very beginning of the book of Acts what to expect. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power." And like I said, you could exchange that word to say authority. And I think the Greek word is dunamos, you know, which is like the word you get for, we get the word dynamite derived from dunamos. And it's powerful. And we have a powerful authority in Jesus Christ. Those who have been filled with His Spirit, "And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So we see Peter loosening the gift to Jerusalem and Judea, the Jews, and to Samaria, the Samaritans, and then to the ends of the earth, which speaks of the Gentile, every nation. And you know the story about Peter, how he was on the roof of that house in Joppa that one day, and the Lord sent down this sheet from heaven filled with every kind of unclean critter and creature you can imagine, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and he said, "Kill and eat." And he said, "Not so, Lord, for nothing unclean has ever touched these lips," because he was a Jew and he tried to keep the law, the ceremonial laws of what was clean and not clean he didn't partake of. And the Lord said, "What I have cleansed, don't you call unclean." And so as a result, some men came to him and said, "I want to take you to this man's house. This man is a mighty man that desires to see you. He's done very wonderful works to the people of Israel." And so Peter went with them because he knew that it was the Spirit that was leading him there. And as he was there and he was sharing the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is poured out and released from heaven. A door is opened, you see, upon the Gentile people here. So let's look at that account, Acts chapter 10, verse 24 through 48. And I hope you see what I mean when I share with you that pretty much got to read the whole story to get the full picture, don't you? To get an understanding of this. In verse 24 it says, of chapter 10, "And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Then Peter lifted him up, saying, 'Stand up, I myself am also a man.' And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. And he said to them, 'You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company or to go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me?' So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I send to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things God commanded you by God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The word you know, which was proclaimed through all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead, and commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, and as many as it came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Okay, and I read all that to show you, you know, that it was to the Jew, to the Samaritans, to the Gentiles. God's call upon Peter to go by his hand and reveal these things. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and revelation of who Jesus is. So he is talking to the Jewish brethren after Paul had come and spoke to the Jewish brethren all the great things that God was doing amongst the Gentiles. It says, and when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all the things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, listen to what he said, men and brother, you know that a good while ago, God chose among us that by my mouth, the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And so God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. But if you read the previous chapter, it's interesting as Apostle Paul comes and he begins to share that he says something interesting here too. He talks about how that God opened the doors, remember the keys, the doors of faith to the Gentiles in Asia Minor. Acts 14, verse 27 through 28. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the doors of faith to the Gentiles, so they stayed there a long time with the disciples. So we get a demonstration of what Peter said, but also with Paul, that they also had the keys to open the doors to faith and the gifts of God from heaven. Nowhere in the Scripture do you see Peter even claim any special privilege other than just simply being a disciple or an apostle or an elder. Like, for example, 1 Peter 1 and 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersed in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And then he speaks of himself being a elder in 1 Peter 5 and 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. And then he refers him to himself as a servant. Simon Peter, a bondservant. This is 2 Peter 1 and 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Clearly, when people fall prey to the doctrine of the papacy and the authority that Peter had, they are in complete error. Christ did give him authority to open the doors, but he gave the other disciples in Matthew 18 that same authority. To whom does God give authority? Who does God give authority today? I believe it's to those who have been filled with the Holy Spirit, just as has been spoken to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And you shall receive power, or you could say authority, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This was not just to Peter alone, but it was to all. I believe this power is to bind, and it is the power to loose, because because there is a connection with heaven. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you have a connection with heaven. Because the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you in all truth. It tells us that in John chapter 16, verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak in His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. The authority that comes from the Father. Now think about this authority. The Bible says, to them that believe in Him, He gave the right or the authority to become children of God. So you and I have that spiritual authority by being filled with the Spirit. And you're able to see things and experience things that God has waiting for you in heaven now to some extent. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16 says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. That means the things that have been locked behind doors that man never had access before, now has access to those things through the Spirit. And it goes on to say, for what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in the words which our man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? He didn't have the keys. For they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, if you go to the book of Revelation, and you can turn this to your own time, in your own time. When he's talking to the church of Philadelphia, the Lord speaks to the church by saying, I have the keys of David. When I open, no man shutteth. And I close, no man openeth. Talk about binding and loosing here, right? That authority. In the Old Testament, if you look in the Bible, for example, the book of Isaiah, it talks about one of the servants of David, who was given the key to the treasuries. He wore it upon his shoulders. Okay? And, everybody's awake now? I do that from time to time. And the key on his shoulder, when he walked around, people saw the key. He's got the authority of the king. Okay? The Lord has given us that kind of authority. But he himself had to attain that authority for us, you see. Remember, and I think it's Isaiah 8 where it says, unto us a child is given, unto us a child is born, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, and so on. And it says, the government shall be upon where? His shoulders. You see, God's government is spirit. It's spiritual. It comes from heaven. And so, what we are to be distributing to people, the doors we are to be opening up, are the things that agree with heaven. Not, it says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Not, thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth. You see? And so, the doors that we open and shut, so to speak, are the things from heaven to people to be able to experience the goodness of God. And I believe that this is an authority that's available to every believer. So why is it I'm not experiencing these things, Carrie? Why? Again, that gift was given to Peter, not so he could just have some genie, you know, in a bottle to rub it and just get his own way whenever he wanted it. It had to agree with heaven. It had to agree with Jesus. It had to be in harmony. We have to be in harmony with heaven also to experience those gifts being poured out upon us. Just like we said in the book of James, it says, you ask, have not, because you ask not. You ask, and you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. If you're not asking according to the will and the purpose of heaven, the way it is in heaven, you can't expect to receive it. But if you are asking the things that are in complete agreement with what heaven says and the government of heaven, then you can expect to have whatever you ask for. Jesus said, if you ask anything according to what? My will, not your will. You see? There's a difference. And so we go on here, and we see that in verse 20 through 26 of chapter 16 of Matthew. It says, and when he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus Christ, from that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned to him, he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. It's almost as though the Lord anticipated the error that was going to enter into the church with people who would hold up Peter as though he is the authority, that he is the foundation. In verse 23, according to the doctrine of the papacy, this would disqualify Peter as a candidate for even being pope. After all, one of the qualifications for being a pope is infallibility in spiritual matters, right? And so fallible was Peter on this particular point that Jesus called him Satan. Those who believe Peter is the first pope argue, well, you know what? Well, Peter wasn't yet filled with the Holy Spirit here. But the Apostle Paul tells us a different story, even after Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. He fumbled. He fell in different ways. Galatians 2:11 through 21 says, and when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For certain men came from James. He would eat with the Gentiles, but then they came and he withdrew him, separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him. Paul calls him a hypocrite. So that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live as in the manner of the Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as the Jews? Now, I use that example. I'm going to stop right there. But you can read that whole chapter there, and it really shows you what I'm talking about. Doesn't sound like somebody whom the church is built upon his authority alone. Even after he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I love Peter, but I still have to acknowledge his fallibility. Now, there's something else that we can learn from what we see with Peter here, and I think that this is one of the reasons why this is put here specifically for us. Kind of answers the question, how can a person speak a word of prophecy Sunday morning when Saturday night they've been kicking their dog and yelling at their wife, so to speak? How can we speak the spiritual? How can we speak with authority 1 minute and then be so carnal the next? That's what's happening here. One minute Peter has a revelation from the Father, a genuine true revelation, such that Jesus even acknowledged it. And the next moment he's speaking after the flesh. What this should teach us, though, is that we should listen to brothers, sisters who share the word, even though that maybe 2 weeks ago they may have said something really dumb or really stupid, right? Because we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Speaks to the frailty of the human condition. We can understand these deep revelations, have deep understanding of things, and then just moments later, just be completely out to lunch. How is that? Again, Jesus here is letting Peter know, letting Peter know the very thing. Jesus wasn't telling Peter, you're literally Satan. He's just simply saying, Peter, you've dropped your guard and you're being influenced by Satan. And if we are not careful, folks, as believers, if we don't guard our hearts, we can experience the same thing. We can say things that are off the wall, out to lunch too. That's why none of us should be high-minded and think of ourselves more highly than we ought. And so oftentimes people say something or do something and people write them off completely. Oh, they must not be believed. No, it's not true. We've got to be careful to keep our guard up. We've got to be careful that the enemy doesn't deceive us, causing us to reason after the flesh. It happens so easily. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23-27 says, "But my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence," it says, "for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips afar from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil." If we acknowledge, if we believe, if we study the Word of God, I believe the tendency to be deceived is going to diminish quite a bit. Got to be careful not to believe everything that pops into our heads. The Scripture says in the book of Hebrews that those who feed upon God's Word have their senses trained to discern both good and evil. Folks, I know that it's very easy for us to look at Peter here and wonder, how could this be so wrong? And how could Peter allow himself to give in to listen to Satan? We've got to keep this in mind, folks, that though we are born again of the Spirit and we have the Spirit of Christ dwelling within us, Satan still has access to your minds. Do you realize that? And he will try to take from that carnal nature that's within you and bring it out and cause you to reason after the flesh, that you will say something completely off the wall, off color maybe even. I found a really good illustration, I think, that illustrates this. How does a worm get inside an apple? Anybody know? Through the flower, exactly. A lot of people think that it comes from a worm that burrows inside, from the outside. But that's not what happens. Scientists have discovered that a worm comes from the inside. Now, how does it get there? Like you said, it comes from an insect laying an egg in the apple blossom. Sometime later, the worm hatches in, you know, that apple. The same thing is true in the heart of people, folks. Sin is like that worm that eats its way out of our hearts in the thoughts, in the words, in the actions that we do. So we have to guard our hearts. When that old worm arises, recognize it and put it to death. Amen? So we look at Peter and we think, wow, this guy, he's supposed to be one of the heads of the church, and yet he just failed so miserably. Peter was no different than any one of us. That's the point of all this, so I'm sharing with you this morning. He didn't have some high position above the other apostles and what have you. No, and he said, I'm like the rest of you guys. I'm a fellow servant of Jesus Christ. The same struggles you guys have, I have too. I struggle with my mouth, struggle with my thoughts. In Sunday school, we sang that song, "Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say," and so on. And it's so true. This is part of the area of our sanctification in God. We are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, but He has called us to a sanctifying work, which means that we learn to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him. Recognizing that within us still, while we're in this flesh, there's always going to be a battle. So we must be on guard for that, just like Peter. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer.